So although this morning we read through Luke 14 to verse 24, my focus text this morning will be verse 23. And I will just read verse 23 again. And the master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the fences and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled." Now, this morning, I'd like to preach a sermon that has been burning in my heart for some time. As we stand on the edge of the beginning of a new year, I felt it very appropriate to preach this sermon this morning. And I'm hoping that it would rouse us and it would place a fire and a zeal in our hearts for those that are lost in this coming year. In English, we say we need to start, as we mean to go on. And this year, this is exactly what we need to do. We want to see unsaved people come to Christ this year. We want to say in 2024 that we will not retreat from the mission that's been given to us by our Redeemer King. Amen. I want to preach a sermon this morning that was preached by the Prince of Preachers, Spurgeon. And he preached a sermon in his day, and I, as I said before, I felt it very relevant for us here at Great Harwood Christian Fellowship this morning. Because there are many people that we know in our context that are lost. And there are even more that we don't know that are lost, that are facing a Christless eternity. And we hear these terms so often, but just think about that for a moment. An eternity without Christ, an eternity under the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. Can you imagine if every single one of us just brought one person to church? There wouldn't be space in this church. It'd be standing room only. And so this morning I want to start by laying down a challenge for every true believer that is here this morning. Because when we speak about reaching out to the lost and sharing the gospel, it sometimes feels like an overwhelming task because there's so many. But my challenge to you this morning is ask God to give you the opportunity to pray for, witness to, and invite only one person. Ask God to show you that one person in your life, someone who's not in the church, someone who does not know Christ, that one person that you can start to pray for, truly pray for every single day, that one person that is a burden on your heart, just one person, because if all of us bring just one person, this church will be overflowing, so don't bring two. Because it's not about bums on seats. When we have someone come to Christ, it's about discipling them, walking with them. So it has to be one. So instead of feeling overwhelmed by having to take the message of Christ to the whole world, just one. Pray for just one. Beg God for just one. Just one. I don't want you to make that pledge to me this morning or to the church, but make that pledge to God. Truly make, and if you're not going to do it, don't make a pledge to God. Don't make a mockery of God. If you're truly going to ask for one, pray for one, pursue one, make that pledge to God and say, "Lord, just one," and pray for them all the time, every day. Let them become a burden in your heart all the time. Don't badge them with a word. Pray for them on your knees. Beg God. Weep for them. Just one. After all, our King's command was this before he ascended into heaven. Mark 16, 15 tells us. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." I feel such an urgency this morning to follow this command. I want to finish the sermon straight away and get out into the streets of Great Harwood and see whom I might find. Someone that is lost, share the gospel to them. You might say to me, Francois, there's so many people who are lost. How can I make a difference? And let me tell you a story. There was a girl walking on a beach where thousands of starfish had washed up. And she was walking and picking up one starfish and throwing it into the ocean. And then she'd walk a few steps more and throw it into the ocean. And there was a man watching her not far away. And he walked up to her after a little while and he said to her, you know that there's so many of these starfish. There are thousands of these starfish on this beach. How can you ever think that you are making a difference? And she looked at him with a big smile on her face. And she says, it matters to the one that I throw back in the ocean. And that is how we need to look at evangelism. It matters to the one that we evangelize. It matters to that one person that comes to Christ. Now this morning I'm preaching this sermon to two types of people in our church. Those of you who understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and those of you who don't. To the unbelievers, listen to me. Those who are here this morning and do not yet understand the truth and the beauty of Christ, I want you to listen to what I have to say this morning. You are a sinner. First, because of what Adam did in the Garden of Eden by disobeying God, and then by your own actions and your own choices every single day. I want you to understand that when we sin, we offend a holy, holy, holy God. We cannot water down sin with pretty words and sentences and that do not offend us. It should offend us. It should bring home the reality of what sin is. When we sin, we offend a holy, holy, holy God. That is why when Christ Jesus became sin on the cross, the Father turned away. He could not look at His own Son because the Father is so holy. God is so holy. Our triune God is so holy that He and sin are incompatible. Do you understand? So when we sin, we are guilty because of our sins. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That verse there tells us the severity of what sin is. And in the same breath, it tells us that there has been made an escape. Amen. And also 1 John 1:8 says this, if we say that we have no sin, if you're under the disillusion that you do not sin anymore, 1 John 1:8 is for you. If you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But let me tell you about my God, who in His boundless mercy has found a way to forgive all of us. The guilty and undeserving, without compromising His honor. 1 John 1:9 gives us the remedy to 1 John 1:8, and it reads, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no caveat there. There is nothing that says God will forgive all these sins except these. All means all. This is the good news of the gospel for all of humanity. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, God Himself, came down from heaven. He took on human form and He dwelt among us, as John tells us. He lived a life without sin, but endured immense suffering by sacrificing Himself for our sins on the cross, so that we may be reconciled to God the Father. Because you see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam was disobedient, it brought a separation between man and God, between the access that man had to God. God came and walked every evening in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. And that now was gone. God's salvation plan is really very straightforward. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you feel like you are drowning and life is too much for you this morning, then Jesus is the only life saver you need. I promise. Even if you've broken every one of God's laws, if you scorned His mercy and challenged His wrath, there is still mercy available for you. The Word of God says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is the truth that you can believe, and you can believe it with all of your heart. Christ came to save sinners. And as Paul says, I am the foremost among them. Paul persecuted the church. He hated the church. And God had the last laugh by saving Paul, who goes on to write 3/4 of the New Testament, who goes on to say, I want to know nothing but Christ crucified. You see, God took a man who hated him. He didn't know he hated God, and he thought what he was doing was in the name of God. But God took him, shook him, turned him upside down, turned him inside out, gave him a new heart, and said, now you belong to me. Anyone who comes to him will not ever be turned away. For Christ can save everyone who comes to God through him. Always interceding for us. God only asks you to look upon His suffering, to look upon His dying Son and trust your soul to Him. He's the only one who can save you from death and damnation. He's the only one who can save you from a Christless eternity. And I want you to listen to me this morning, because we preach these things so many times that sometimes it goes in the one ear and out the other ear. This morning I want you to stop. Pull the handbrake and take stock. Take stock. Amen. This is great news. So don't you find it remarkable that when people hear this great news, they don't grab and accept the gospel immediately? You would think that as soon as it was preached and people came to an understanding of this, that they would abandon their sinful ways and embrace Christ. Thinking about His sacrifice, being touched by His sacrifice. Why doesn't this happen? Because sadly we have a flawed nature. We have a sinful nature. We want what we want. Our character is so corrupted that many despise this message and reject the invitation to God's feast. They become enemies of God, the very God who offers them salvation in Jesus Christ. It is like they are in the ocean and they are busy drowning. And God is throwing them the life-saver, Jesus, and they keep pushing it away, even though they are drowning. That is why we have to compel them to come in. You cannot take no for an answer. You cannot, because eternity is a long time. And the consequences of people going into eternity without Christ is immense. I say it so often that it is something that really burdens me. It gives me sleepless nights. It really does. I think about the people that I know that don't know Christ. I think about the people that I've shared the gospel with who don't want to know Christ. Now, to the believers, this morning I don't have too much to say to you, but this. You have been saved by the King for a purpose. I want you who are believers to really listen to me this morning. You have not been saved to live a comfortable life, reveling in your own salvation. If you are retired, You have not been saved to sit back and enjoy your retirement. Spoiler alert. That is not why you retire. You, if you are retired, are to work tirelessly for the kingdom of God. You and I have been saved to share the miracle of what has happened to us with everyone we meet because it is such joyous news. There should be a burning passion in your heart for the lost. And if there isn't, you should fall on your knees and find the first love that you had for Christ when you first came to Him. This is when we read the beginning of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where God is speaking to the seven churches. He says this to Ephesus. He tells them, he pats them on the back for all the great things that they've done. And he says this to them, "But this I have against you, that you have lost your first love." You have lost your first love. How do we lose our first love? Well, because living the Christian life just becomes a tick box exercise. We do not drown ourselves in the Word of God. We do not pursue Him with all of our hearts. We think we do because we come to church and we mingle with Christians and we have Christian conversations. That is not what you will be judged on. You will be judged on what you do in your prayer closet when you are alone, when you have time with God. That is what we are judged on. Matthew 7, many will come to me in that day and say, "Lord, Lord, we did this in your name and that in your name." And he will say this, "Go away, I never knew you." He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians, not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people who sit in the church, who think they are saved. And he says this to them, "You were so busy with the things of God that you forgot the God of the things. Go away, I don't know you." Being a Christian isn't coming to church and making coffee and tea. It's not just coming and singing on the band. It's not just serving in the church. Those things are secondary. Being a Christian is pursuing God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Being a Christian is wanting to spend time with Christ. Being a Christian is wanting to drown yourself in His Word because you are so hungry to learn more about Him. Being a Christian means that you can't wait to be alone because that is the time that it is only you and Him. You and Him time. If you have spare time, it isn't to book your next holiday, but to be on your knees in prayer for those that you know are lost. In the church, we sometimes are still such a worldly mindset. We think that we are to partake of the world and to enjoy the world. We have been created to worship God and enjoy Him forever. If you love and know Christ, don't you want your life, your very purpose, to please Him? Don't you want the very breath that you breathe, everything that you do? Don't you want to do all of that in pursuit of pleasing our King? Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. "And by this we know that we have come to know Him." This is how we know Him. "If we keep His commandments," not our commandments, not what we want to do, "if we keep His commandments, the one who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly in him the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him." What a telling scripture. Are you in Him this morning? Truly in Him? You see, it sounds like a hard word, but it is not. It is a fantastic word. Because we have the privilege every morning of standing up and glorifying the King of Kings. We have the privilege every morning of those who belong to Him to sit up in our beds, throw our knees out and worship Him and say, "Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. I can rejoice and be glad in it because you are my God, because you have not left me in the wilderness, Lord." The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Nothing that comes against me this day will put me down. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. That is who you are. Children of the Most High God. It should excite you. It should burn in you. It should want your heart to explode with joy and gladness. It should put a smile so big on your face that if you didn't have ears, it would go all the way around your head. Do you understand? If you are truly a child of God, this is the fruit that will be displayed in your life. If you are a true follower of Christ, pleasing our King will burn in your heart all the time. All the time. Do you understand what is at stake this morning? What is at stake is the lives of those who do not know Christ. Think of it like this. There's a man or a woman standing in front of a firing squad, and they will die. And you have it within your power to alter the course of their eternity by telling them about Christ. Do you understand the weight of the responsibility that we have as believers? Every single one of us. Are you praying for them? Are you weeping for these people that you say you love? Are you bringing them before God with an anguish in your heart? Does it keep you awake at night knowing that you know someone and you love someone who will go to hell? It does me. It does me. My wife will tell you many nights I go downstairs because I cannot sleep. I toss and turn in my bed. These people will be separated from God. And they will face His judgment and they will face His wrath for eternity. I hope you feel this urgency with me this morning. Therefore, it is my focus. Therefore, it is my purpose to focus on those who are reluctant to come to Him. Those in the lanes, in the side streets, in the hedges, as the scriptures speak. And with God's help, I am duty bound to follow His command to compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Beg them to listen. Beg them to come in. You may say to me, Francois, who are these people you talk about and where will I find them? They are all around you. The scripture says to quickly go into the city streets and lanes, bringing in the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And then into the highways and hedges, bringing in the homeless and the wanderers, compelling them to join. When we talk about the crippled, the blind, the lame, we are not just speaking of physical impediments, we're speaking of spiritual impediments. Those who are blind, who are crippled, who are lame spiritually. There is no excuse. There really isn't for us. Every single one of us speak to someone in the course of a day, of a week, of a month. We speak to someone. Now, those of you who are poor in spirit, I see you this morning, and it is my job to do everything I can to persuade you to come to Christ. Because you are precious to Him, sir. You are precious to Him, madam. Every woman, every man, every girl, every boy are precious to Him. And you're worth fighting for. You're worth fighting for. Think about those people that you know that you love. Are they worth you turning off the television? Are they worth you taking hands with your family? Are they worth you praying for them, interceding for them, begging God to save them, begging God to grant them repentance, begging God to send someone along their way to speak with them about Christ, begging God to give you the opportunity to speak with them, begging God to open their hearts and to prepare the soil for them to receive the gospel? It is so easy for us to say, well, I did, and they didn't want to know. How hard did you try? How long did you pray? And it doesn't matter what your standing is before God this morning, sir, madam. It really doesn't matter if you reach poor or middle class. It doesn't matter. My Master, my Redeemer, my King invites you to the feast of His love. Whoever wishes, let them come and freely take from the waters of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, I must reach out to you no matter who you are, no matter how worthless your own righteousness seems. I must invite you and compel you to come to Christ. If you don't know Christ this morning, I beg of you, please, listen to the word of the Lord. It will change your eternity forever. It will change your life for the rest of your days and into eternity. You know, when I've been on the table with Rob and his team, and I often hear the words of those who reject the tracts and they say, I'm okay, thank you. Are you one of those this morning who would think that they don't need Christ's grace? Do you think this morning you are okay? Proverbs 14 verse 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 12 15 says, the way of an ignorant fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Listen to counsel this morning. If you do not have Christ, if you do not truly serve Christ, you need Him. Truly. You have not lived until you have lived for Christ. You may even think of yourself as saved this morning. You might think you are okay, but you might be spiritually poor or spiritually crippled. And there was a time that you thought that you could achieve salvation without God's help by doing good deeds and doing good things. I thought this for many years, that if only I could be good today, if only I could not sin today, if only I could, and all out of my own power, and daily I used to fail. And you know what happens after a while? After a while you give up because you think, I can't do this. I'm never going to be good enough. And you're right, you will never be good enough. That is why you need Christ. That is why you need Jesus. We think that we can be good and do good deeds, believing that we could reach heaven on our own. But maybe this morning the harsh reality of the law has hit home to you, and you understand that you are incapable, and you mournfully have to admit that the best efforts of my hands cannot stand before the throne of God. If you've lost all ability to follow the law, to think you need to do all these little things in the checklist, whenever you try to do good, you find yourself grappling with evil. You've given up on trying to save yourself because you feel utterly powerless and incapable. But to you, I am also sent. I'm here to raise the flag of salvation and preach to you that anyone who calls on the Lord's name will be saved. And whoever wishes, let them come and drink from the waters of life freely. Acts 14, 12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given amongst men by which men can be saved. Not Buddha, not Allah. There is no other name by which men can be saved, because in no other religion did God himself come down and die for those he loved. And he loves you. And he loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. Do not let today pass by without today making a decision that Christ is the Lord of your life, without calling on the name of the Lord. And I know that many of you who sit here are saved, but there are some who are not. And there's those that I'm preaching for, and there's those that I'm begging. There's another group of people. Those who are lukewarm, those who are undecided and are not committed to Christ. Sometimes you think about eternal life and you think that you should sort yourself out with God. But mostly the world pulls you back in and the worldly pleasures lure you away. You go back to doing the things you shouldn't do. You go back to sleeping with someone you're not married to. You go back to doing the things that offend God. That's not the worst of it. The worst of it is that it doesn't worry you enough to make you fall down on your knees and beg God for his forgiveness. If you think you are a Christian and you do that, you are not. The truth is not in you. You need Christ. You need Jesus. You truly need Jesus. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. It truly doesn't. Not in this church or any other church. Any religious progress you make is unsteady and weak. Despite your indecision, this message this morning of salvation is for you. Decide now to serve God wholeheartedly. With all of yourself, serve him. He is worthy to be served like that. He is worthy to be worshipped and adored. He is. There are also those among you who are blind. You can't seem to see your own faults. And I'm not talking about those of us who stumble and fall every day. I'm talking about those who are self-righteous, those who think they are saved, who do not want to admit that they have never truly been saved, those who go through the motions, mistaking evil for good, darkness for light. You have no discernment and you don't understand the gravity of sin. And you receive to believe in a just and righteous God. You are blind because you cannot see the truth that you are not saved. My role here this morning is to guide you, to help you see the need for a Savior. This is for everyone here this morning. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Paul writes and he tells us, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? ? What Paul is saying is, daily see if you are living the Christian life. Daily see if you are following Christ's commandments. Daily see if you are sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Daily make sure that you will not accept anything less than pursuing God, than pursuing a holy life, a pure life. Now to those who have heard the gospel repeatedly but have remained indifferent, you are probably the group that is in danger the most. This perhaps is your last chance. Don't waste it. We don't know how long we will live, none of us. This is the lie that the devil has sold to all of us. You have time. There will be time to sort yourself out with Christ. None of us know. Think about the eternal consequences of rejecting Christ. This morning I urge you, I compel you to accept this invitation. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't you dare this morning walk out those back doors if you have not made yourself, if you have not sorted your life with Christ. When you stand in front of God one day, you cannot say, I did not know. He will remind you of a crazy South African standing on a pulpit one Sunday morning, pouring his heart out and begging you to make Christ the Lord of your life. Start the new year with Christ being the Lord of your life. And if you have lived a mediocre life for Christ, sort it out with him. Repent and say, Lord, please, change my heart. Give me a new heart. Please, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to daily be close with you. I want to daily be have communion with you. I want to be in union with you. And then finally, if my words still don't move you, I can only weep and pray for you. Please remember, this is a message from someone who deeply cares for you. I care about your salvation. I plead with you for your own good to accept Christ and the eternal life that he offers. Don't delay. Time for salvation is now. As sure as there was a new day this morning, there will be a day when every single one of us will have to stand before the King and give an account of our lives. What do you want to hear that on that day when you stand before him? Do you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or depart from me, I never knew you. Psalm 37 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, O God of mercy, we come before you this morning. We stand before you. We bow before you, Lord. I can only but beg this morning, Lord, for those who do not know you, Lord, those who have not made you king of their lives, those who have lived mediocre lives, those who are lukewarm, Lord, I pray this morning that your word, Lord, would penetrate their hearts and their understanding, that it would be more than just a sermon this morning, Lord, that it would be a call that alerts them of the danger that they are in, Lord. And for those of us, Lord, who have known the privilege and the sweetness of serving you, for those who have known the sweetness of calling you our Redeemer King, Lord, may we be praying this morning for those who do not yet know you. May you place a burning passion and a zeal in our hearts, Lord, a true understanding of what is at stake, Lord. May we be on fire as we leave here today. May that fire not be like a firecracker that goes up into the air and explodes, and for a moment there is a light and brightness, and then it fades away. But may that burning fire in our heart, Lord, be like a wood-burning fire, Lord, with coals that are stoked, that are continually hot and warm, that never slows down, Lord, that is stoked every day by your word, that is stoked every day by us communing with you, having time in prayer with you, Lord, and connecting with you every day. Holy Spirit, that you might lead us and guide us, for your word says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Lord, may we live like ambassadors. Lord, may we risk it all for you. May we risk it all for those who do not know you, Lord. Please, Lord, please. May 2024 be here for Great Harwood Christian Fellowship, Lord, to have such a burning passion and desire to share the gospel that every person we come into contact with, every opportunity that you give us, Lord, that we might take that, that we might not be afraid or worry about what people might think about us, Lord. May we be bold and courageous. May we know who our God is, and may we know whom we follow, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask all this for the glory of the King. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the honor of our Father God. Amen.